Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. It is Friday at 9 p.m. here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what time and what day it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show. I had intended to start with what you've already heard a little taste of, and that is the Twitter story. We will get to the Twitter story in just a second. But I've got to tell you, there's big breaking news in the world of baseball. Two-time Cy Young Award winner Jacob DeGrom has left the New York Mets, and he has signed a five-year, $185 million deal with the Texas Rangers, according to sources talking to ESPN. And to me, this is so bizarre. He's 34 years old. He opted out of his final 2 years of his contract with the Mets. He only threw 64 innings in 2022 because he got injured in 2021. And when he came, a stress reaction to his shoulder that he had after he came back. So after he came back, he really didn't pitch that well. And he's 34. And the year before, he barely pitched at all because he got injured. So my point is, wow, are the Rangers taking a gamble? I think. Now, he might win the Cy Young Award for the third time. I don't know. But I'm shocked that he changed leagues at this stage of his career. Apparently, he always wanted to go to Texas. He always liked the state of Texas, and now he's going to Texas. So good luck to Jacob DeGrom, who did a lot of great things as a Met. A lot of great things. But I never thought that 5 years for $185 million with an apparent option for a sixth year, which I would imagine is the team's option. Otherwise, why would it even be an option? Why would anybody turn down that money? At that point, he'll be 39 if he's still even pitching. All right, on to more important things. And that is Twitter. I could go by a million different stories here, but I'm going to go by the Daily Mail. Give it a little international flavor, after all. Matt Taibbi has been given all this internal documents by Elon Musk, all relating to the censorship of the Hunter Biden story back in 2020. And they show that Twitter staffers censored tweets at the behest of Joe Biden's campaign team. His campaign made requests for tweets to be taken down, and Twitter complied with it. And these are internal Twitter emails, which appear to show that staffers censored the tweets at the behest of Biden's campaign. Weeks ahead of the election in October of 2020, Twitter prevented sharing of that New York Post story about Hunter Biden's involvement with a Chinese oil giant and his then presidential candidate father, Joe Biden's potential slice of a multi-million dollar deal with the foreign firm. So you have emails between Twitter staffers, show them censoring people who shared the story, including the White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany. And they did it under the guise of violation of their hacked materials policy. Hacked materials, which, of course, was a falsehood. Twitter also allegedly used blocks in an attempt to halt the spread of the story published, including the tactics that were usually reserved for preventing the sharing of child porn for the Hunter Biden story. And Taibbi claims that the email showed Dorsey intervened multiple times to question the censorship. In other words, he wasn't in on it. He wasn't in on it. Now, we know that Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, told Joe Rogan, we played it for you here at the time, that the FBI met with Facebook people to warn them about Russian disinformation campaigns and disinformation campaigns in general. Be on high alert for Russian propaganda. And then you had all the people, all the Biden people and former security experts and blah, 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 saying that, oh, this Hunter Biden story on the laptop has all the earmarks of Russian propaganda. So bingo, if it's Russian propaganda, Facebook thinks we're going to ban it. And they did. Twitter, we're going to ban it. And they did. And of course, it was not Russian propaganda. It was real. Real emails showed recommendations from the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, to review certain tweets on Twitter. Yep. Another message showed more requests to be looked at from the Biden team in October of 2020. Excuse me. There were requests from the Biden and Trump team, but Taibbi writes, the vast majority were shown to be from Democrats. Yep. 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 This is the country we live in now. I mean, the White House spokesperson was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story. And you talk about the election not being fixed. How many people, if this story was given legitimate news coverage at the time, in October of 2020, how many people that voted for Biden would have not voted for Biden? And or voted for Trump. I mean, come on. So this is just crazy stuff. And scary stuff. Emails showed internal arguments breaking out among senior Twitter staff over the suppression of the Post story, the New York Post, which included lurid details of Hunter's escapades with prostitutes, hard drugs, as well as evidence of potential corruption involving Ukrainian gas company Burisma and his links to Chinese firms, Hunter Biden's links to Chinese firms. One staffer, Trenton Kennedy, allegedly wrote, I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for marking these as unsafe. I think the best explainability argument for this externally would be that we're waiting to understand if the story is the result of hacked materials. We'll face hard questions on this if we don't have some kind of solid reasoning for making the link unsafe. In other words, they had no reason to ban this story. They were trying to come up with one. They did it because they were requested to do so. Another, Katie Roseborough, shot back with a link to a Fox News article about Hunter's laptop asking, will we also mark similar stories as unsafe? Now, also, and this is very disturbing, very, very disturbing. The documents, according to the Daily Mail, reveal that Democratic lawmakers who could punish Twitter and social media, regulate them, fine them. They blasted Twitter for failing to censor more content after the Post Hunter Biden laptop scandal. And some of the lawmakers claimed, or the premise for the wanting to censor more, get this, free speech isn't absolute. Now, I could understand that if these emails were, you know, advocating the murder of somebody or somehow shouting fire in a crowded theater. But when the free speech not being absolute means you can't harm our candidate and this would harm our candidate. And so you can't print, you can't allow this. Well, that's not good. The first of Matt Taibbi, the First Amendment isn't absolute. A letter containing chilling passages relaying Democratic lawmakers' attitudes came. They want more moderation And as for the Bill of Rights, it's, quote, not absolute. That's what Democratic lawmakers, that was the message they gave to Twitter. Multiple instances in the files of Dorsey intervening to question suspensions and other moderation actions. Yeah, he didn't know what was going on, and I find that hard to believe, but that's apparently what the emails show. Democratic lawmakers complain that the companies are inept. They let conservatives muddy the water and make the Biden campaign look corrupt, even though Biden is innocent. They link this to Hillary Clinton's email scandal. She did nothing wrong, but because the press wouldn't let the story go, it became a scandal far out of proportion. A guy named Zabo added in his email to Twitter executives. Who's Zabo? That's what I got to find out. Zabo, Culberson. Oh, no. Zabo. I don't have time to Google Zabo here. I should. But he's somebody on the Democrat side who is in contact with Twitter. That's this is incredible stuff. It's not a surprise, but to see it, to see that this is what the emails confirm was happening. That's really it takes on a new dimension. It really does. And if we don't have an investigation into this, if we don't remedy this, this country's really done. I mean, yeah, yeah. We have Hakeem Jeffries, the head of the Democratic Party now in the Congress, in the House, the minority leader in the House starting in January. An election denier. Now he's being defended by Time Magazine and others saying, oh, he's not an election denier. Basically defining election deniers as those who question the 2020 results. In other words, you can only be an election denier if you question the Joe Biden victory. Not if you question Trump's victory in 2016. They make it up as they go along. But you've known that. It's really bad. It's worse than it's ever been. And I even think we don't know how bad it is. And how bad's it going to get? You've had Barack Obama, who's running this country, I believe, out there since he was in office. But many, many, many more instances since he's left office, claiming you cannot have a democracy when you have so many news sources saying so many different things. Really? Who's going to decide what the truth is and what should be printed? You? He's literally said that, and others are saying that. The people who want to tear down our democracy, stifle our democracy, rip apart the family, freedom of speech, demonize half the population, call them terrorists, go after them, investigate them, are saying you can't have a democracy if you have these people, if you have school board meetings where people question, all these things. And now, also, by the way, you can't have all these news sources. People won't know what the truth is. So you can't have a democracy if you have all these news sources. So let Barack Obama decide which news sources should survive and what's news and truth and what's a lie and what's hate speech. We are at a tipping point in the history of the United States of America, and I don't see the Republicans as strong enough to fight back because I don't hear them saying what I'm saying. I haven't heard them saying what I've been saying for 20, 30 years. But if they remain inept and silent and disorganized and afraid and timid, then we're done. By the way, Herschel Walker's going to lose. Who's campaigned for him? I mean, Obama's out there spreading the same bull crap, the lies. And when he lies, he you could see the radical leftist in him. His veins pop, his eyes bulge, and he stutters, claiming that, oh, they're going to take your grandmother's Social Security away.
in the Medicare, and they worked hard for that, and they sweated for that, and they're going to take it away.
Where's the Republicans? Who's saying this is bull crap? Nobody's going to lose Social Security. We may revamp it for people who are 30 years old and under, 40 years old and under, 50 years old, but certainly nobody receiving it or about to receive it is going to be affected. Where's one freaking Republican saying that? Have you ever heard that? It's like they want to lose. And if that remains the case, if they remain inept as they've been for decades, we're done. The country is done as we've known it. And what you've seen so far is the tip of the iceberg, because you will not recognize this country. If, like I've said before, if you fell asleep and woke up if you fell asleep 5 years ago and just woke up, you're like, what? What are they teaching those kids? What's going on? Who are terrorists? What's a domestic terrorist? What's going on here? Whites need not apply. What? Equity? Reparations in the state of California, $250,000 for black people? What country is this? Well, fall asleep today and wake up in 5 more years. And you tell me what you're going to you imagine. You can't imagine where this country will be if we don't have people like Ron DeSantis, who are able to spell things out and speak the truth and are unafraid. Republican leadership are incapable of that. And I really fear for the future of this country, and that's what they want. They're getting what they want. Obama is doing what he couldn't do as president. He's doing it now. When you have a president of the United States in office who doesn't remember anything, who can't remember names, who doesn't know where he is, who doesn't know how his son died, who repeats things that the White House has to constantly say, oh no, he didn't mean that. Who shouts and then whispers, who stands and doesn't know where he's going, who grabs President Macron's hand and holds it for like a full minute when Macron wants to get his hand away, and Biden just is holding on to it and hold it. I mean, and the media says nothing. But when Donald Trump was president, if Donald Trump had a bad arm and he had to help with the good arm to lift the bad arm with a glass of water to his mouth, oh my God, 25th Amendment, something's wrong with him. He had a stroke. He can't do the job. Get him out. That's our country. That's our media. That's where we are. Could you imagine if it was Donald Trump's son, Don Jr.? Imagine Don Jr. The laptop belonged to Don Jr. But nope, belonged to Hunter Biden. And really, what could go wrong having your drug addict son go to China and conduct business? It's not like he's going to do something in China that China might see or know about, or even help stage and facilitate that they could use as blackmail against Biden. Nah, that can never happen. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, folks. So there you go. From DeGrom to Twitter, I can't take it anymore. And on top of that, during the show last night, and I spared you the details, my Devils, who had won 13 in a row, then lost, and had since won 4 in a row after that, they're home last night. They fell behind 2-0 early in the first period. They came back. They were winning 3-2, and with 8 seconds left, they give up a goal, and they had to go to overtime, and they lost in overtime 4-3. So that ticked me off. But I was good. I didn't say anything. So between the last Devils game and DeGrom leaving the Mets and this whole Twitter thing and our country going to hell, which in no particular order of all those, you know, I could use the weekend coming up, and it is coming up. And so's a break. I'm Steve Malzberg right here. Much more ahead, by the way, on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
They wouldn't let him in, even though he had the permit to go and observe the roll-up process. They wouldn't let him do it. They called the cops on him. The cops showed up thinking there's going to be some sort of riot. There was no riot. Patrick was just sitting there in a chair. And as he sat there that evening, he saw people come in and drop off these envelopes full of these so-called flash drives. And the thing was, then at a certain point at night, around 10:30 or so, the media started mentioning the results of the election. And he's like, well, how can that be? Because all these envelopes full of these flash drives were all sitting not far from him in this hallway at the center there in Detroit. He's like, well, how are they getting these numbers if they're not uploading this data from these flash drives? So we learned yesterday, thanks to Patrick, in Michigan anyways, that the numbers being reported to the media are not supported by these flash drives coming out of the various precincts because those flash drives weren't even counted. Another piece of the puzzle comes to the forefront.
Joe Hoft on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Sometimes it makes me feel embarrassed if there's somebody that says, hey, what did you do that for and stuff? Well, one of them is where I shake my head to get my hair out of my eyes. There's another one where I sort of do like a little squeaking in my throat. There used to be another one where I had to spell every word that I hear. I don't notice it when I'm playing football or concentrating on something like that. Tourette's syndrome is a neurological disorder that affects thousands of Australians. It is characterized by involuntary movements and vocal noises called tics. We can't help it, and we're just like you in every other way. People with Tourette's just want to be understood and accepted. So visit Tourette's.org.au to help us help those with Tourette's.
You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Who decides what hate speech is, what disinformation is? Obviously, the left, they want to be the censors. They want to be the ultimate determiner of what information you get to hear. Who gets to give you information? Who gets to speak? Who gets to be heard? Who doesn't? Who gets to be designated a legitimate source of information? And who gets designated as a denier or a conspiracy theorist or a hate monger or a terror, domestic terrorist or whatever the label they come up with? Well, Tulsi Gabbard, the former congresswoman who's now a Fox News contributor, she was a guest, and she also was a presidential candidate for the 2020 Democratic nomination. And boy, remember she gave it to Kamala Harris on that debate stage. Oh, did she give it to her? And so Tulsi was on with Tucker, and this is what she was addressing. I want you to hear a little bit of it. This is 357.
Today's self-proclaimed feminists will not define what a woman is and are unfortunately actively seeking to erase the progress that Title IX has made over the last 50 years by essentially trying to erase women as an entire category of people.
Okay, so she's talking there about feminism and how it's changed and how, you know, it used to be all about feminism. It used to be all about feminism. And now this trans crap is the antithesis of feminism. And you don't hear one word of objection from the people, the feminists. As a matter of fact, they somehow smile and make believe it's all the same, when of course it's not the same. When you have a 6'2" biological male swimming in NCAA college championships with the women, with the girls, and you say, that's okay. No, that's not feminism. You're screwing those girls. So, okay, so and here's 358.
This has been something that's building and growing over time. I introduced legislation, bipartisan legislation, while I was in Congress out of a recognition of this problem, that we have people who claim to be feminists, yet who are exercising the height of hypocrisy by actually trying to erase women as an entire category of people, and doing so by doing things like the Biden administration is doing now in trying to undo Title IX, the legislation that was enacted 50 years ago, out of a recognition of the difference in biological sex between men and women and boys and girls. And so my legislation, very simply called the Protect Women's Sports Act, upheld that original intent of Title IX, ensuring that sports would be maintained with that original intent, with females competing against females, males competing against males.
Wow, she's got blood on her hands, doesn't she? Oh, yeah, I think she's to blame for the Colorado shooting with rhetoric like that. Imagine. Males should compete with males, biological males with biological males, biological females with biological females. Wow. Whoa. Domestic terrorist. That's where we are. Believe me, that's what the left thinks of her. And worse than the left, you got a Justice Department, you know, that not specific to Tulsi Gabbard, but thinks basically the same way. Here's cut 359.
The video I posted this morning was part of a podcast interview that I did with one of the nation's top female swimmers, Riley Gaines, who has direct experience of the consequences of what this administration is doing, in that she was forced to compete against a biological male for the national championship, and how basically how she was sidelined in the interest of this fear-filled culture where you've just got to go along to get along, no matter the fact that you're actually denying the existence of objective truth, that you've got a 6'4 male with male parts competing and swimming against women in college and being given the podium and the medal while the women are being sidelined.
It really is a crashing defeat for what we were told feminism was.
Well, you just redefine feminism, like you redefine racism, and you redefine vaccinations, and you redefine a million other words. Just redefine it. That's all. When your agenda is not met by a definition of an existing definition of a term or a word, just change the definition to suit your agenda. That's how the left operates. Here's 360.
The people who are propagating this, I'm sure they have their own motives that go actually much deeper than this issue of denying women, denying motherhood, trying to actually change our language so that we actually erase the word woman and mother and sister from our vocabulary. The underlying danger here is the denial of objective truth. And once we, as a society, allow this to occur, that we no longer believe that what is true, then what we're left with is no boundaries, no moral boundaries, and those in power being in a position where they and only they define and tell us what is true and what is false.
Exactly.
And we end up with pure insanity.
There you go. There you go. Which goes right back to Twitter. It goes right back to banning the Hunter Biden story. Goes right back to what Barack Obama says every time he can, whenever he opens his mouth, whenever he's interviewed. Can't have a democracy when there's varying viewpoints out there, when people are being bombarded with different facts. We have to decide what the facts are. Can't have a democracy. And that's exactly what Tulsi Gabbard is alluding to in the last cut there. It's beyond redefining feminism and redefining everything else. It's the people in power, the left, getting to decide what those definitions are, whose definition is accepted. And if you don't go along with those definitions, then you are a xenophobe, a homophobe, a yobophobe, a wobophobe, whatever the heck they come up with. And if there's a guy, God forbid, a shooting somewhere, then you're responsible. You got blood on your hands for daring to talk about this, for daring to report the truth and the facts and talk about an issue that needs to be discussed. You're a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist. You should be punished. And we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. Don't think that if the government, that if the left could get the social media platforms to, in effect, fix the election for Joe Biden by eliminating the Hunter Biden story right before the election, don't think that they can't eventually pressure platforms, cable outlets, and some have been dropped, but to drop conservative news sites like Fox one day. Do you think that's out of the realm of possibility? Think again. After all, we know Fox is evil. We know Fox and Tucker Carlson and the rest of them, they're responsible for everything that's happened bad in this country. It all goes back to Fox and Trump and anybody who follows Fox or Trump. We all have blood on our hands. Remember that. All right. Yesterday, I don't even know where to go here. I'm going to start. So, yesterday I told you that LeBron James made a statement to the press after the Lakers game on Wednesday night, and he was upset that the media hasn't asked him about Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones, a picture that emerged of him when he was 14 years old, 65 years ago, as Jerry Jones put it, observing black students being denied entry into an Arkansas high school. He wasn't participating in it, he said. He was observing what was going on with many others in the crowd. So here's LeBron James. This is going to be D8. Here's LeBron James, D8.
I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that.
Okay.
Hold on. And I don't even want you guys to say nothing. When I watched Kyrie talk and he says, I know who I am, but I want to keep the same energy when we're talking about my people and the things that we've been through. And that Jerry Jones photo is one of those moments that our people, black people, have been through in America. And I feel like as a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage, it's on the bottom ticker, it's asked about every single day. But it seems like to me that the whole Jerry Jones situation photo, and I know it was years and years ago and we all make mistakes, I get it. But it seemed like it's just been buried under like, oh, it happened, okay, we just move on. And I was just kind of disappointed that I haven't received that question from you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, then he left. So LeBron James making some kind of connection between a Jerry Jones photo, like I said, from 65 years ago, when Jerry Jones was 14 and not doing anything. There's no proof he was doing anything wrong. He was kind of in the back of a crowd looking on at what reportedly was black students not being allowed into an Arkansas high school, or trying to be blocked from entering an Arkansas high school. And somehow LeBron sees a connection, an analogy. Well, you asked me, you didn't ask me about this, but yet you asked me about Kyrie Irving retweeting and in effect endorsing a hate-filled anti-Semitic movie And somehow he's implying that there's racism of some sort going on with the media because they haven't asked him about it. They haven't asked him about it because it's got nothing to do with him. Jones owns the Cowboys. That's football. LeBron is basketball. Kyrie happened now. Jones, 65 years ago. Kyrie plays basketball. LeBron plays basketball. I mean, where's the comparison? Where's the issue? It's a made up baloney crackpot notion, in my view, where LeBron is without crying racism by the media, he's accusing the media, in my view, of racism. You guys, when a white guy does something, you don't ask me about it. But when a black guy does something, you ask me about it. Yeah, when the white guy did it when he was 14, 65 years ago. And what did he do? He stood there. And Kyrie did it yesterday. You played against Kyrie. He's in your league. Your league suspended him, or the team suspended him. And he's black and you're black. And, you know, he was anti-Semitic, and it's real and it's now. How does that compare? It doesn't. But Stephen A. Smith of ESPN, and you never know where Stephen A. Smith's going to fall on these things. I like Stephen A. Smith. He used to do another show, not on ESPN. Gosh, this is going back. Where was I? What? I don't even know. This is going back 15 years, maybe a little less. And I used to be on that show that he did all the time. It was a TV show. I don't remember what it was called. Anyway, he went to bat for LeBron. He sees this through a lens that LeBron sees it through. Here's D9.
I want everybody to understand. I can't applaud LeBron enough for what he said. Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree with LeBron James, because that wasn't about Jerry Jones. If you're listening, as my man Joe Madison, the Black Eagle on Urban View Radio, would say every morning, that was, you got to listen with the third ear. What LeBron was talking about was, where's the intensity? You ask Kyrie these questions, you bombard him one point after another after another. And we know what level of friction I have with Kyrie mm-hmm. and his peeps. But even I came on national TV and like, nah. Y'all crossing the damn line now with these demands and these stipulations and all of this other stuff.
Okay. By the way, I don't disagree that they never should have made Kyrie, you know, whatever they made him do, meet with the ADL, they give money, you know, I don't know what they made him do, but I couldn't care less what Kyrie does. To me, he said what he said, he meant it, and that's it. But I digress. So, like I said, it's not about what LeBron was talking about. It goes deeper. He was accusing them of race being racist. Again, you ask me all these questions, but Stephen A. Smith defends this? The media asks him all about Kyrie, but nothing about a picture from 65 freaking years ago when he was 14, Jerry Jones, and doing nothing. I just don't see it. Here's cut number D10.
But what LeBron was talking about is unavoidable. The media. Trump says something. They asked LeBron about it. They asked LeBron about the presidential campaign when Trump was running against Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, obviously, him endorsing Hillary Rodham Clinton had something to do with that. But clearly, LeBron James has been subjected to question after question after question. But suddenly, when it came to Jerry Jones, you didn't ask? Because I assure you, if I was in that press room, I would have asked LeBron about it. I would have said, yo, mm-hmm. LeBron, by the way, how do you feel about this? Even when I took the position that I took about a still photo of a 14-year-old, I still would have asked LeBron that question. The fact that he wasn't asked that question and he had waited and he had to bring up the subject to a media in the year 2022 gives credence and buffers the argument that Kyrie Irving was making when Kyrie said, Where's the intensity when our people's going through stuff, when we've been afflicted? Y'all gonna have the same momentum, the same passion. You gonna bring that to the table? That's what LeBron was calling out.
Right. A picture, a 65-year-old picture of a 14-year-old boy is equated with an NBA player doing something today and doing something. Jerry Jones wasn't doing anything in that picture, doing something today, retweeting and in effect endorsing a horribly anti-Semitic film and sticking by his guns, not apologizing at first, doubling down. That's compared to Jerry Jones in a picture as a 14-year-old. If Jerry Jones was beating on a black kid or something, I mean, even then you could say he was 14, but that would be horrible. And that certainly, but he's standing in the back of a crowd watching. Where is the analogy? Here's cut D11.
And that brings in the point into the equation, the biggest point that was being made. The media is the fourth estate. We play a significant role in subjects that are actually broached. Hmm. And subjects that are avoided. And it didn't escape LeBron that after the Lakers win, in the aftermath of this whole stuff with Jerry Jones, regardless of what your position may be, he wasn't even asked.
He wasn't even asked. Oh my God. The media must be racist. So crazy. One more from Stephen A. Smith, cut D12.
Now, some people in the media will say, well, he's an NFL owner. You're an NBA player. Kyrie's a contemporary, but that doesn't wash.
That's BS.
Because you've asked LeBron about a multitude of things that were not basketball related. So why did you ask him about this now? The fact that he pointed that out, he is 1,000% right on the money. And if you're the media member in that room last night and you didn't ask LeBron a question about Jerry Jones, you should be looked upon with a raised eyebrow by LeBron James and all his contemporaries in the world of professional sports, because you would have done it in another situation.
Right. So if you didn't ask LeBron James about a 65-year-old picture of a 14-year-old boy who happens to be the owner of the Dallas Cowboys now, when you asked him about Kyrie Irving, who he plays with and who did something today and did something awful, there should be a raised eyebrow when we look at you. Because are you kidding me? So in other words, just say it, Stephen A. Smith. It was racist. It was racist not to ask LeBron James about the picture. What now let me ask another question. What's the freaking motivation of the media? Do you think the media really? So first of all, you admit that when he was asked about the presidential race, it was after he endorsed Hillary Clinton, so that gives reason. But he's asked about contemporary things that are happening. Colin Kaepernick, other issues, the riots, George Floyd. This picture is 65 years old, and Jerry Jones isn't doing anything wrong as a 14-year-old boy. What's to ask? You think if there was a story, a real story, a legitimate story, a fair story, that these people in the media, all of them that cover the Lakers, not one of them? And by the way, I don't know the answer to this question. Stephen A., is there not a black reporter in that circle of reporters that LeBron was addressing? I mean, I don't know. I would hope there would be a black reporter, at least one. I would find it hard to believe there wasn't. So let me assume, for the sake of argument, that there was a black reporter or two or maybe more. I don't know. If there was, Stephen A. is implying what? That they're racist? Or, they were probably too intimidated to dare to ask it because everyone else around them was racist, right? It never ends. You just keep making it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Take it further and further and further. But that's a good question. And I don't know the answer. Just like I don't know the answer as to why Pelosi's husband would open the freaking door and go back into the, as they say, foyer towards the guy who was about to hit him on the head with a hammer. I don't know the answer to this murder in Idaho. I think it was at Idaho where the four college students were slaughtered by the guy with the knife or somebody with the knife. How they could say that they got a 911 call from one of the people in the house who wasn't stabbed, you know, about 9 hours after the stabbing. I guess they were sleeping until that time. And they said, we can't wake this person up. He or she is unconscious. Really? Nothing about the blood for somebody who was butchered? I don't understand that either. And there's more. There was a sixth person on the lease. See, the man who was killed in the slaughter, the boyfriend of one of the girls, didn't live there. So you had the two upstairs and three that were killed that lived there. One person is on the lease, apparently, didn't live there. We're first hearing about him. And it's like, we don't think this person has anything to do with it. Wouldn't that be the first suspect? Wouldn't you bring that out at the beginning? Why are we only hearing about that now? There's a lot of crap I don't understand about a lot of things. But this is as bogus could be. Please, somebody, I got to find out. That's the question we need to answer. Because if there is a black or at least one black reporter that LeBron was addressing on that night, is he a black racist? I mean, racist against blacks? Or are they going to say they'd be just too intimidated to ask that question because of the wrath of the white reporters would fall upon them? Believe me, there's an excuse waiting no matter what the answer is. All right, folks, Steve Malzberg right here. We have one more segment to go on TNT Radio.
Oh, it is on. It is on like Donkey Kong. Mike Lindell announced on Steve Bannon's War Room today that he will be seeking the office of Republican National Committee Chairman, trying to oust one of the McFailure triplets. That would be Ronna McDaniel. We'll always give Ronna credit for bringing Michigan in for Trump in 2016. But Ronna, what have you done for us in the last 5 years? Precious little. Mike Lindell has the experience, the temperament, the expertise, and most importantly, the willingness to stop illegal voting. Until we have elections that everybody, regardless of party affiliation or political philosophy, can rely on as being safe and secure, we will no longer be a constitutional republic, but a banana republic. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. Now, by the way, on Monday, the son of the late Robert Bork. I think that's going to be very, very interesting. So make sure you tune in. Okay, Don Lemon. Don Lemon talking about the... Well, by the way, I didn't even mention tonight that Kyrie Irving was kicked off of Twitter again. He's gone because he tweeted out a Jewish Star of David with a swastika in it, or vice versa. One of the two. Okay, I mean, he's obviously gone way, way off the end. And here's Don Lemon, though, and I find this interesting on CNN this morning. He's starting with the LeBron statement, and then he goes to Kyrie, I believe, if I have my notes right. Here's D13.
And I was just kind of disappointed that I haven't received that question from you guys.
Wow, very powerful. I've been making a very similar point that there are a lot of people, whether you agree with Kyrie Irving or not, but there are a lot of people who feel the same way that LeBron James does. LeBron just has the courage and the platform to be able to say that, and he's not concerned about the outcome.
Whether you agree with Kyrie Irving or not, what? That the blacks are the real Jews? Whether you agree with him or not? There's a question, Don? Okay, could we do 17? 17 is the one where he talks about the Kyrie being kicked off Twitter and why. And this is the interesting one. Here's D17.
Elon Musk suspending Kanye West from Twitter overnight. Why?
Oh.
The anti-Semitic rapper tweeted a swastika wrapped inside the Star of David. We are not going to show you the image because it is hateful, nor will we be showing you the deranged clip of West praising Hitler and saying that he loves Nazis on a show run by Alex Jones.
Obviously, my brain is fried and twisted at this point. So obviously, I meant Kanye West was kicked off Twitter, not Kyrie. LeBron was talking about Kyrie. Lemons in that cut was talking about Kyrie. The first one, if you agree with Kyrie, this was Kanye kicked off Twitter for. But the thing is, Don Lemon said, we're not going to show you it. See, that's what gets me. Why? Show everybody. Show them the swastika with the Jewish star. Show it to them. We're not going to show it to you because it's offensive. It's hateful. What the hell is that? Show it. Ugh. All right. Let's do D15 and then D16. This is Barack Obama talking about Herschel Walker. Here's D15.
This would be funny if he weren't running for Senate. We all know some folks in our lives who we don't wish them ill will. They say crazy stuff. We're all like, well, you know, Uncle Joe, you know what happened to him. You know, it's okay. They're part of the family. But you don't give them serious responsibilities.
He's mocking something Herschel Walker said. We all know people like him. Uncle Joe. Did you hear what he said? Now, he wasn't referring openly to Joe Biden. But how messed up is it that he said, Uncle, can we play that D15 again quickly? Here we go.
This would be funny if he weren't running for Senate. We all know some folks in our lives who we don't wish them ill will. They say crazy stuff. We're all like, well, you know, Uncle Joe, you know what happened to him. You know, it's okay. They're part of the family. But you don't give them serious responsibilities.
Uncle Joe. A Freudian slip, perhaps? I think so. Folks, it's been a pleasure. See you Monday, God willing. Same time, tell your friends at Steve M. Talk on TNT Radio.